Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. To learn more about the SEI, please visit our website at sei.cmu.edu. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website. My name is Shane McGraw, and today I am pleased to introduce you to Ipek Ozakaya, a senior researcher in the SEI's Research, Technology, and Systems Solution Program. Today, Ipek and I will be discussing her research, which explores the development of an architecture-focused measurement framework for managing technical debt. Ipek's work focuses on developing methods for improving software architecture practices. Primarily, she focuses on applying economic methods and theories to software architecture practices. Ipek, thank you for joining us today. To start off, I'd like you to tell us a little about what is technical debt as it applies to our discussion here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Shane. And the technical debt metaphor actually has been around for a while. In fact, we're almost celebrating its second decade, 20 years. It was first used in 1992 by Ward Cunningham at an Uppsala conference, where he described the trade-off that developers make. The idea is that developers sometimes accept compromises in the system in one dimension, for example, modularity, to meet an urgent demand in some other dimension, like deadline, schedule, performance. And obviously, such compromises, if not monitored well over time, could have an effect like debt if they're not paid back, and which then should be repaid or repaired so that the system continues to function with the quality that it's expected to function.
So I've seen this referred to as similar to financial debt. Is that a good perspective to look at?
Well, that actually brings up an interesting point, Shane, because to date, the practice, both the software engineering consultant space and to some extent in the past couple of years, the researchers have been using as a metaphor, which is like a conceptual abstraction of it. However, I think the more we investigate it further, it's getting closer to an analogy. By that, I mean the structural aspects of a financial debt, which is there's a timeline of the debt, there's an interest that accumulates. Well, do you pay the interest first, or how much of the real principal you're taking back first? So those become actually important issues when you're dealing with it in the context of software, when it applies to evolution and maintainability.
So please explain how the management of architectural debt fits into your overall interest in agile architecting.
So what has happened in the past decade is the technical debt metaphor was actually picked up again by the agile community. And that goes back to the first principles that the agile software development proponents follow, which is, well, you'll have to push the functionality quicker to get feedback. And with that, what happens is some shortcuts and some trade-offs, which might be taken on as technical debt. However, most of the work focused on code quality. What we're actually arguing through our work is, as the scale of systems grow, when you need to deal with systems that are going to be out there for multiple decades, systems that have to reach out to many, many users, the architecture fundamentals and the system of system aspects of these systems become important. And that's why our work focuses on how can you actually manage those shortcuts at the architecture. Can you foresee some of the detrimental effects when you're making some of the architectural decisions? So that's how we focus our work, rather than looking at the low-level code quality aspects, raising the abstraction a little bit, and also giving information to system managers and developers earlier throughout the software development lifecycle.
Now, I know you've created a game called the Hard Choices game. So can you tell us a little bit about the game? I know it's been very well received, and just how this fits into some of the work you're doing.
Sure. So this was actually one of the first activities that we engaged in, both as our team at the SEI, myself, Robert Nord at the time, and Nanette Brown, and also Philippe Curtin from the University of British Columbia. We brought in Chris Sims to teach us how to create our games. And one of the reasons of that activity was we wanted to understand better to interact with agile teams and bring that to some of our non-traditional stakeholders within the government, like Department of Defense. And we said, okay, let's create one for ourselves. And we took the game that Elizabeth Herrington from Quality Tree Software has been using, which was called Shortcut, game about speed and risk. And we adapted it a little bit more to our purposes, put a little tweaks in there to try. Our goal was to bring architecture focus a little bit more to bear with our stakeholders. And what happened actually is then we use it with our tutorials. It caught on way beyond our expectations.
Sure, yeah.
It became really popular. And one of the most surprising feedbacks we got is some organizations are actually using it to bring different stakeholders from management and engineering to the same page in terms of the issue they have at hand. So that's how we've been using it.
And I know that game is freely available on the SCI website. Just type in Hard Choices at our site. It's a free download.
Correct. It's it's on the Creative Commons license. It's available. And what's available on our website is both the game board and all the ways to play the game. But we also prepared a facilitator guide because we do some tweaks in terms of the facilitation. And people usually find that useful as well. I think through the SCI main website, if you just type Hard Choices, you would get to that.
Excellent. Now, I've heard you state in the past that your architecture-focused measurement framework for managing technical debt is informed by exchanges that you have in the technical debt workshops. Can you tell us a little bit about these workshops and how the SCI became involved?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking that question, Shane, because one of our goals is really to go to the research foundations of some of the theories and methods that you can bring to bear for managing this kind of technical debt in the systems. And for that purpose, we actually want to reach out to our research partners. And that's how they actually started. We held the first one in 2010, June, at the SCI, inviting some of our researcher colleagues. And then from that point on, it caught on. And both our collaborators in the practice and other collaborators in research asked us to bring it to other venues as well. So for the past 2 years, we've been having this workshop at co-located with the International Conference of Software Engineering. The reason why we do this is we ourselves have both short-term and long-term goals,
sure,
as the metaphor itself brings to bear. We want to be able to provide methods to practitioners in the short term, but we also want to get to the root of some of the issues we have, which is a lack of a repeatable measurement framework for a practice like software architecture. What are those artifacts out there? Do you really have to create a big artifact to be able to really create some quantifiable measures, or are there really quick and easy ways to do that? And we can only do it by learning from people who are out there and also from other people who are attacking the problem from different perspectives. So
Excellent.
That's where it's coming from.
Excellent. So speaking of research, your particular research investigates which measures a software development team can apply to effectively monitor challenging qualities of software, such as degrading modifiability and extensibility of the system at each iteration or in an iteration and incremental life cycle like Agile. Please tell us about some of your findings and were there unexpected results that you found?
So what we went into the work thinking, well, if we want to really be able to do something that is long-standing with it, we need to be able to provide some quantifiable aspects of it. And in essence, technical debt is about rework. Can you estimate rework? Can you anticipate rework? And at what stage of the software development lifecycle do you do that? What is out there actually is there are lots of tools and there are more tools emerging that do kinds of things like static analysis, looking at the code, whether there are cycles in the code, whether there are unexpected function calls to particular classes that might actually have a burden on the system in maintainability. That's all very well, and we are actually learning a lot from that work. But our goal is to be able to do that earlier, whether when you have some architectural decisions, can you anticipate those kinds of rework that might emerge? Or can you look at an architecture artifact along with the code artifacts and understand whether it will be harder down the line to add functionality? Or if you need to upgrade technology, can you anticipate the amount of rework that you are bringing to bear. We started with modifiability and extensibility for obvious reasons, because it's easier to provide some measurements around. We can learn from some of the lessons that static analysis artifacts have done. But of course, it's also a harder road because there's a lot of skepticism around those as well. And we actually ourselves are skeptics in that area. And if you're asking me what was the most unexpected finding in that, it's our own skepticism going into it. We all thought we would have come to a solution a lot earlier, and we challenge ourselves a lot more than we thought we would initially. What we're doing now is we're trying to introduce other quality attributes in addition to some of the things like modifiability, extensibility. We're looking at availability and performance related aspects, like, for example, can you anticipate rework when you're upgrading different caches for distributed systems? So that's where we're actually headed, and it's exciting from one perspective because you're trying to understand some of the questions that have been asked for a long time, but sometimes it's also tough because you know there's actually a lot of work to do, and that's why community involvement of different researchers and folks who are using this in the trenches is very essential for our work.
Excellent. So what areas do you plan on exploring in the upcoming year?
So there are three areas that are in our focus for the upcoming year. One of them is we've come up with an initial algorithm in terms of measuring potential impact of rework, looking at the static structure of the architecture. So we're creating some simulations in terms of looking at the boundaries where that breaks. So that's of focus, and our colleagues in the University of British Columbia with Philip Crutton are actually working with us on that as well.
And are these, are these large-scale systems, all of them, or is it just run the gamut of
so
in size?
So the initial systems are, of course, smaller in size, but they're real systems. They come from real systems. One of the systems is, for example, is a building information automation control system that we had some artifacts for from Siemens. So that's actually created a very useful playground for us to test our ideas. And we're using some open source systems to test the scalability of it, and then we'll be putting it into a larger systems. The whole idea is the large scale systems, because what happens in these is, especially when you bring a measurement focuses, the number of elements that you look at very quickly get into the hundreds and thousands. Our goal is to provide a decrease in the number of elements you look at while not compromising from the predictability of the analysis. And that's actually the bigger question in terms of whether these techniques will ever really scale up. And of course, the other big question is, do we really need to go into a quantifiable aspect of that, or is it good enough to just state in the metaphor realm? I tend to believe that if we can't measure it, we can't control it. So that's why me and the rest of our team actually continue in this area. So
excellent. And were there two others?
Oh yeah, there were two others. And the second one is looking at some harder to measure quality attributes with availability, and we'll be looking at some runtime patterns with that and apply the same types of analysis. And the third is looking at some architectural decisions earlier in the context of system of systems. Especially our DoD stakeholders actually are very much interested in being able to bring some rigor to a context where system of systems architectural decisions are made and the risk that they embody in terms of rework going down the line. So that's an area that we will start looking more closely into.
We will look for that work. EPEC, thank you very much for joining us today. Can you tell us whether there are any publications where our listeners can go for a deeper dive in this research?
Sure. So it depends on what they are interested in. If they're looking for some high-level introductory kinds of material that whets their appetite and give references, and also if they're coming from some of our government stakeholders' perspective, we published quite a bit in Crosstalk. We have some publications in the May issue in 2012, and also some in 2011 as well. So that's one venue that we publish in. And we also publish in some research venues like WICSA. And also our technical debt workshop has not only publications by us, but other colleagues who are doing work in this area. And one other upcoming resource for people interested in this area is Robert Nord, Philippe Purtin, and myself are editing a special issue of IEEE software on technical debt, which will be out later in 2012.
Well, what about Saturn? Or is any of the proceedings from the conference available to outside people?
That's actually a good question. The presentations of Saturn are on the website, and this year actually almost about 50% of the presentations did mention their struggle with technical debt, providing an in-house practice for technical debt. And one of the biggest issues that everybody tries to push forward on is when you know it, make it known so that you can actually
sure.
taking precautions against it. So there's some presentations from other folks.
Thank you. This podcast in the SEI podcast series is also available on CMU's iTunes U website. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for joining us today.